the gospel. Gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Hey, let's talk about Barbie. Socality Barbie. Mm. You heard of her, Christy?
Well, not until today, to be honest with you.
Wow. Well, you've heard of, like, Malibu Barbie.
Yes.
Maybe there's some other manifestations of Barbie out there. I don't know.
There's lots of manifestations of Barbie.
I'm sure there are. growing up, I had a sister and then, of course, two daughters after I got married, of course. But anyway, you know, talking about Barbie is annoying. So, you know, we're going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Maybe not at this very moment, but maybe a little bit later in the broadcast. You know what else is annoying?
What's that?
Authenticity.
Okay.
Now, that's surprising, isn't it? That shouldn't be annoying.
It's trendy.
Well, it is trendy. Let's be authentic. And I think that's what Kevin
DeYoung... live authentic.
Yeah, now that's annoying. You know how people talk like that, you know, right? Hashtag live authentic. Oh,
that's not annoying. That's,
those hot dogs look great. Hashtag let's get fat. I mean, I don't
hashtag
know.
Yum.
Hashtag yum. See, you know how to do it. I've never talked like that. Remember when I tried to put a hashtag on my Twitter thing and I did it wrong?
Yeah,
and
you
rebuked me?
You put a punctuation mark and I quickly texted you and said, hey, Dad, if you're going to use a hashtag, you at least need to do it right.
Yeah.
Get rid of that punctuation
mark.
That's
right. I wasn't even sure what a hashtag was, but anyway. Still not sure what it is, but we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, this whole, you know, let's be authentic. Kevin DeYoung, I mentioned his name a moment ago, I think.
You did.
Hashtag forgetful, but anyway, I'm old. But he says, you know, the word authenticity is annoying. It doesn't have to be annoying, but it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's keying off of what we're talking about just a little bit. And he gives a definition. He says, you know, back in the day, you look at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, mm-hmm. it used to mean authoritative,
mm-hmm.
you know, the word authentic. But now, you know, then it morphed a little bit. Then it meant something worthy of acceptance or belief or reproduced in accordance with the originals.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He said it can mean real or actual. It can refer, do you know this, to a musical chord progression?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes.
A perfect authentic cadence is when your bass goes from sol to do and your soprano goes from ti do or re do.
Wow.
5-1. dominant to tonic.
Okay.
Come on.
I have no idea what you said.
It's most important foundational musical progression music.
I figure you would know, being a music major, masters in music and all the rest. I guess the money was worth it, huh? You've been working hard to pay off that degree, huh?
Yes, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, good job. Anyway, in its fifth definition, however, it's become the standard. Here's the definition that everybody accepts today, for the most part. True to one's own personality, spirit, or character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not necessarily bad.
Right.
But here's what Kevin DeYoung says. In a day where people disdain hypocrisy more than any other vice and prize transparency more than any other virtue, you can be obnoxious or as obnoxious, I should say. You can be as obnoxious as you want to be. Go ahead.
As you're authentic about it.
Well, that's right. That's what he's saying. You can fail spectacularly. And you know what else? You can sin repeatedly.
What's that? Oh,
well, I'm just saying, as long as you never pretend to be any better than you really are, makes no difference, you know, how you mess up, makes no difference, you know, what errors you make, you know, makes no difference what you say, what you think, what you do, if you're only true to yourself. This is the age.
Mm-hmm.
We said a few weeks ago it's the age of chaos, king on the age of Aquarius, but this is the age of authenticity. I was wrong.
Hashtag authenticity.
Exactly. Now, obviously, you know, from a biblical perspective, you know, we don't want to be hypocrites.
Mm-hmm,
we do want to be true and truthful and all the rest. But, you know, living in this age of authenticity, I mean, there can be some stumbling blocks. There can be some dangers. And that's what Kevin DeYoung is talking about a little bit. And we don't want to get too technical. We do want to do some, you know, critical thinking here, some cultural analysis. We want to have a little fun along the way.
Well, maybe we should explain why we're kind of poking fun at authenticity.
Ahead.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying I have the answer, but I'm just saying a lot of people my age, they still wouldn't see anything wrong with the age of authenticity.
Right.
That's cool. That's trendy. That's
what
you do.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of, part of where I'm coming from, now, we're going to dissect this a little bit more.
Okay.
But part of where I'm coming from is this whole notion that we've alluded to already, that doesn't matter what you do or say, as long as you're true to yourself. You can be a jerk face. That's an old 80s term. You can be a jerk face. As long as you're authentic, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he gives an illustration. I mean, and we've talked about this on the broadcast, not necessarily from this angle. We've talked about Donald Trump a few times. I mean, this phenomenon of Donald Trump, you know, the fact that he's out front, the fact that he's in the lead, you know, he's ranked high in all the polls, and people love him. And it's inexplicable to me in some sense.
Right.
I mean, in terms of him being a political candidate, I mean, he's a businessman. He's an entertainer. I think I shared it at one point that I watched for a very short while The Celebrity Apprentice till I realized, wait a minute, I'm just really wasting a lot of time here, filling my mind with a lot of junk. I'm not trying to criticize.
Right.
You know, and it's not that we can't just, you know, be entertained either. I mean, it's pretty entertaining, but I don't know. Meatloaf was on there, and he was losing his temper every week, and anyway, it's just like, I don't tune in and watch these people get angry at each other every week. What am I doing?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I think most of us realize what we talked about on a previous broadcast was that conservatives in particular are upset with the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's Democrat or Republican in office, nothing changes. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I think President Obama is worse for America than, you know, any Republican candidate in the field. But we're only talking matters of degree at this particular point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I cited the, you know, Republicans are always talking about abortion, for example, and yet we still have it.
Mm-hmm.
We still have Roe v. Wade, you know, 1973. What are we going on? 41 years? I mean, I can't do that quick math in my head.
Me neither.
But it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's an abomination. So people are like, look, let's just get rid of the whole bunch, the whole motley crew. Let's get somebody in there who can get something done. I mean, they think Trump's going to get something done. And again, sick of the status quo. But, you know, here's the deal. Trump also benefits, now this is Kevin DeYoung, from being virtually gaffe-proof. I mean, we make fun of people who, you know, look, Joe Biden is thinking about getting in the race. Now, I don't want to criticize him too bad. He's just gone through a personal tragedy and all the rest. But Joe Biden is not gaffe-proof. I mean, you remember, what was it, 8 years ago? I mean, I think one of the ones that I remember, the fellows there in the audience, and unfortunately he's paralyzed. He can't walk, and Joe wants to recognize him, Joe Biden. I think the man's name is Joe. And he's like, stand up, Joe, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad, but folk make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Joe Biden's a smart guy. I certainly don't agree with him politically, philosophically, or anything like that. But, you know, you've had other people. I mean, you think of, who's the guy tried to run again this time? He's just getting shellacked. Rick Perry.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, oops. who was it? Just sort of hasn't recovered last time around from drinking all the water. Was it, I don't know, was it Rubio? I don't know. I can't remember. But, you know, just one little gaffe and a lot of folks, or look, the whole Dan Quayle thing. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a gaffe, but there was a zinger that Lloyd Benson got in on him, you know, and he's done. I mean, he ended up being the Veep, but just, you know, by luck of the draw.
Right, but anyways.
But Donald Trump, I mean, every single day he's saying stupid stuff.
Right, but people don't seem to care.
They don't care.
Because he doesn't really care.
That's what it is. He's never embarrassed. He's never embarrassed with himself. He's never unsure of himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to quote Kevin DeYoung again. He just seems nothing other than he's always delighted to be himself.
Right.
He's authentic.
Yeah, woo.
And that's, I think he's on to something. I mean, he's impervious to these whole gaffe gotcha moments because he's the real deal. That's what folk are saying. So anyway, perhaps we need to just look a little bit closer at this, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pendulum, here's DeYoung, you know, was due to swing back to the raw, back to the real. But you know what? There's some reasons. There's some virtue about some long-held, I'm just going to use the term values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to be you couldn't get away with swearing,
mm-hmm.
or at least in public. And you shouldn't.
And now Christians do that.
Ah.
And you're cool if you're a Christian that swears.
That's right. And why is that?
I don't really know, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just the young Christians. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is prevalent in your age bracket, isn't mm-hmm. it? Oh, yeah, I can, you know, say curse words or swear words. I'm under the blood.
Christ.
Freedom in Christ. There it is, and this is just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just happen to, you know, swear a little bit.
Or the Bible doesn't actually prohibit it.
Right, right. But you got people like Ted Tripp saying the same thing. He's mm-hmm. an old guy.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like Ted Tripp. Not anymore. That's not just the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, it's a reproach on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reproach on Christ. So, you know, immodest dress. You know, Christians, you know, looking just like the Lord. But that, well, this is who I am. See, that's the rationale. You know, again, sexually graphic language. Maybe that falls under the swearing a little bit. But the reality is Christians should know better and be better.
Mm-hmm. Because we should be showing the world that we are different. I was having a conversation with somebody one time about this very thing, and we couldn't help but listen to a conversation. We were at a coffee shop, a conversation of some people at the table next to us,
mm-hmm.
and they were just using swear words and doing all sorts of things. And one of the things that we were talking about was I was saying, if a Christian talked like this, I wouldn't think that if I heard someone talking to this, my natural
yes.
inclination is, oh, they must not be a Christian, or it wouldn't occur to me that they would be a Christian.
Right.
But this person I was having a conversation with was like, how do you know? You don't know them. You don't know their heart. And maybe that's true. I don't know their heart.
Right, right.
That is true. I don't. But it just seems to me like, duh, it's a no-brainer.
That's right. Well, Christians are supposed to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Biblically speaking, we are. We're supposed to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that we're better than others, but we've been confronted with our sin. We've been forgiven, and we've committed to glorify God, to put His character
right.
on display.
And it's not a pretentious, holier-than-thou
no.
type of attitude that we want to portray in being different. It's this is how we follow Christ. Jesus doesn't want us to do that, so obviously we're not going to.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, part of it, and again, I guess we're jumping ahead a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too far ahead, but you just said, you know, we don't want to have that holier than thou. Yeah, you know, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to come across as hypocrites.
Or pharisaical.
But then you swing to the other side and Okay, well, because I don't want to be holier than thou.
I just want to be authentic.
I just want to be authentic. Yeah.
Don't judge me.
That's right. And you got him going. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute and take a little different angle on that, a little different tack on that. One other thing on the way, though, just based on something you said, the world criticizes Christians and calls Christians hypocrites because of what you just said. And this is another issue. It's a side issue. We don't want to get too far, you know, off on a side road. Mm-hmm. But if Christians are over there swearing and yet they're claiming to be Christians, even the world says there's a disconnect and you're ruining your witness, whether you think so or not. Because the world says, well, you say you're being authentic, but actually I think you're being a hypocrite because Christians aren't supposed to swear. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to swear?
It doesn't.
Exactly. Anyway. Anyway, part of... Let's just... Look, rather than saying we'll come back to it, let's just roll a little bit further on this.
Okay.
All right, let me quote Kevin DeYoung here. He says, in this age of authenticity, there is this fear of contradiction between the public and private self.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, within the individuals. I want to be the same in public
as I am in private.
Mm-hmm. All right? And so that desire to be the same is so strong that it has forced many people to fuse the two into one. When being real trumps all concern for decorum, due process, quiet deliberation, we assume that every private discovery and painful journey must be made public. And you and I have talked about this before. Have I not lamented at how people would just bear all, just say anything and everything? And it's all about our feelings in part, but it's about being authentic, isn't it? This driving notion.
And being open and transparent.
Open
Not
and transparent,
that there's
yeah.
anything inherently wrong with being open and transparent at certain times.
Sure, depends upon what and how.
It does seem like, with my generation, it's almost constantly just telling people how you feel, telling people your problems.
Yeah. And sometimes it's okay. I mean, the other day I was feeling down about something. I talked with my wife about it. I didn't post it on Facebook though.
Right.
I guess I just said it on the air. Well, I'm not telling you anymore. I'm happy now. In Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not kidding. But think about this. Think about this. Small group today. A lot of time. Let's just confess our sins to one another. Let us just open up. Everybody share all your sins this week. Now, some are quick to say, well, that's what James says, isn't it? Confess your sins to one another. Well, that's not what James means. Here's what James means. If I sin against you, I realize that I'm convicted, but I need to come to you and confess and seek your forgiveness. And then you know, I repent, and you grant forgiveness, and we're reconciled. But just sitting around, you know, in a group session, well, let me tell you all the sins I committed this week, all the evil thoughts I had, and all the, you know what I'm saying? But part of that, again, it's trendy, but it goes back to this issue of trying to be authentic. And I think in that case, you're actually, number one, you're being unbiblical, you know, just to air it all out in public.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you need to deal with God, particularly on private thoughts. Private issues. When you share certain things, you might cause others to stumble. I mean, here's a big thing among guys. You know, guys wrapped up in pornography.
Oh,
and so they want to talk about pornography with their, what do you call it? Your spiritual buddy? I forget. What do you call it?
Accountability partner.
Thank you. And we're going to talk about, you know, all the porn I looked at all week.
Yeah, I think just this week, somebody who was in a Christian band came out and was saying that he had struggled with porn in the past or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing that all the time.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is you want to talk about it all the time, too.
Talking about it.
Now, you know, you got the images in your head. You know, you're talking about it more. You may cause someone else to stumble. You're dwelling on it. Just deal with it, dude. You know? And by that, I mean repent.
or I don't know if I'm allowed to name drop on the show, but that there's a book that everybody was into maybe 6 years ago or so, Blue Like Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
It starts out with him telling, like, an experience about similar to that.
Yeah.
And that's what people are drawn to.
They are. It's voyeuristic, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to hear all about your... Now, bro, I'm going to pray for you, brother mm-hmm. or sister, but it's voyeuristic. Anyway, we're going to get too far afield. And when I say repent, dude, you know, get over it, dude, I'm not being unsympathetic. I'm not saying take two Bible verses, you know, just look. Some people really struggle with certain issues. I understand that,
mm-hmm.
and it may take a little bit of time. But if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, you avail yourself of the means of grace, you go to the Word, you pray, you put off sin, put on righteousness mm-hmm. through the renewing of your mind, you can mortify that sin. Mm-hmm. You can put it to death. That's the issue.
Absolutely.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you can't, you're not saying something about yourself. You're saying something about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't good. Yeah. Look, we're getting bogged. I mean, we're going to run out of time. But here's another issue. Part of the problem is when you attempt to be so authentic all the time, well, I'm just a rotten sinner and I do this and blah, blah, you're just sharing all the time. I wonder if you're somehow not actually, and I've kind of alluded to this, but if you're somehow not actually dealing with your sin, you're not actually contrite.
Hmm.
Do you understand what I mean?
You mean
if I am so, if I have sinned grievously, and I'm so overwhelmed by it and grieved by what I've done, I've got to go to the Lord and get grace and get mercy and get help. But if I'm just running around all the time, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you see what I mean? That you can become blasé about your sinfulness.
Blasé. I don't know what that means.
You can become casual, apathetic
mm-hmm.
about
apathetic.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Glib.
Okay.
I'm a little too glib on a lot of other stuff. But anyway, here's the deal. We've got to find our authenticity in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm going to come back to that as we wrap up the show here in just a few minutes, but I think this quest for authenticity can lead to inauthenticity.
Mm.
And that's an issue. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
I mentioned Socality Barbie.
Right.
Okay. Now, what in the world is Socality Barbie?
Well,
she's a creation, actually, of a Christian... I don't even know, blogger, maybe?
Photographer,
mm-hmm. yeah. And it's a tongue-in-cheek Instagram account, and...
it's based on the Live Authentic hashtag.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you picked up
right,
on that.
Right, she was looking at the Live Authentic hashtag, which is a really popular hashtag. A lot of my friends use it, and which is fine.
Sure.
And she said that she was looking through it, and all of them seemed the same. It's you're outside in nature, you're camping, you bring your espresso machine to the top of the mountain, you got your Indian-colored blanket with the red and the green and the yellow, and then you're warm and snug and in nature.
Yeah.
And so she said that she felt like it wasn't authentic anymore because everything looked exactly the same. So she created an Instagram account where it's pictures of Barbie doing all these Live Authentic things with really funny captions at the bottom.
That was a great description. It would have taken me 20 minutes to deal with it, but that's it.
Uh-huh. It's funny. You should check it out.
It is funny. It's out at the Atlantic. That's where I picked it up.
Right, may be another article. Yeah. The article's on The Atlantic, but it's an Instagram account, just Socality
Barbie. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got some of those Instagram pics right here.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you call them? I want to be authentic here. Here's Barbie, and it's a picture. And like you're saying, she's out in the woods, and she's got this giant leaf. I mean, it looks like a, I don't know what it is, but it's one of those Leland cypress. It's huge, and it's covering half her face. And she says, went for a walk in the woods this morning. Couldn't resist the urge to put plant life in front of my face.
Or she has one where she's holding out an ice cream cone in front of a wall, and she says, because holding an ice cream cone in front of a wall makes it art.
Yeah.
Hashtag live authentic.
Yeah. That's it. Well, you're down with this stuff because that's who you guys are. Here, look at this. Here's one. She's on the beach. Looks like she's just had a swim. She's got this big towel wrapped around her hair. You know, looks chlorinated. Of course, there's no chlorine in the ocean, but there might be. But anyway, it's salted. How about that? She says, waking up at 10 a.m. was so worth it to get that perfect light and fog.
Yep. What's the point? Why are we talking about this?
One more. Coffee and kinfolk, because my life is beautiful. Anyway, I could go on. Y'all need to check it out. Well, I guess, you know, I had this in my head in this quest, and I'm stumbling a little bit just because I'm so overwhelmed by these pictures. But in this quest for authenticity,
we become unauthentic,
inauthentic. Right? We copy everybody else. We come across as fake.
Putting on a persona.
You're putting on a persona
for people to think, oh, that person's so cool.
Thank you.
I know, because I struggle this.
Yeah.
I love live authentic pictures. I think they're so cool.
Wow. We're going to get you some counseling after this show. No, I'm kidding. All of us do that. I mean, I have my persona, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think certain things are cool. It's not the same thing you think is cool, but I'm kidding. Here's something that kind of... Somebody asked me a question the other day, and it had to do with church. You know, why are warehouse churches becoming so popular?
Hipster churches,
and that's what I said. I said, well, in the minds of a lot. Now, this is not everybody, so I don't want to, you know, just stereotype. But in the minds of a lot, it's we're being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
We're being real, raw. Yeah. And then what they say about the traditional churches is the traditional folk are not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, you know what? Either one or both can be authentic or inauthentic. It depends on, you know, who you are.
So the question is, what is real authenticity?
Well, hang on. I'm going to get to it, but let me give you an example.
Okay.
If all the traditional pastors dress one way and sound one way, mm-hmm. you know, they go to preacher school. Well, all the hipster pastors dress their way and mm-hmm. sound their way. They all wear the blue jeans and the untucked shirt and put their hand in their pocket and got the beard and the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had time to dissect all of it. Just think it through. Real authenticity, I'm going to say it in one phrase, and you got to think, and this has got to come from the heart. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Do all that you do for the glory of God. That's the solution.
That's it.
That's how you solve the problem. You do all that you do for the glory of God. Does that make sense?
It does.
All right. You going to live that way?
I'm going to try.
All right. You got to come to Christ. You got to put off hypocrisy. Got to be a repenter. Got to avail yourself of the means of grace. Fulfill the calling that God has put on your life.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.